Was King Saul actually born again? It's hard to imagine, but that's what we're going to explore on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Very glad you've decided to join us. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending us a message through email, radio@faithalone.org. Let's go right to today's exciting discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning into the show. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, we're doing some Q&As, and we answer a lot of questions, don't we?
We do.
By email, by telephone, and over our show, Grace in Focus. So here's an example of that. Here's a question from Daniel, and he says, what is our position on where King Saul stood with God? God was obviously not pleased with Saul in 1 Samuel 15 and rejected him as king, but did he reject him as a man when he disobeyed and after giving him a new heart in the verses below? So I guess he's asking, one, was Saul born again? If so, what does it mean for him to have been rejected by God?
Right. Well, we have discussed this on a previous show, but in a quick review, we have said, as Daniel says in his email, that God gave him a new heart, and that indicates that he was born again.
Right.
That's not true of an unbeliever. And so Saul was born again, and yes, Saul was displeasing to the Lord, and so he lost the kingship, and actually God took the Holy Spirit from him in the sense of indwelling, because in the Old Testament there was no permanent indwelling. In fact, David prayed to God, please don't take your spirit from me, because there was no permanent indwelling in the Old Testament. But he was a person of faith, and so there's no reason to doubt that King Saul was born again. But there's every reason to believe that God was not pleased with him. That's why he lost his kingship.
Isn't that interesting? In a way, Saul is the picture of the danger faced by all unfaithful Christians. We risk losing the kingship.
Right. The Old Testament is filled with examples that we need to follow, and Saul would be one of them that would be a negative example. Same thing would be Solomon, which is even worse, because 1 Kings 11, Solomon dies as an idolater.
Right.
And yet Solomon was the author of three books of Scripture. Solomon was a greatly beloved king.
Right.
And yet he too displeased God at the end of his life.
And we know from Genesis 1, verses 26 and 28, that God created man and woman to rule, to have dominion over creation. And we know from a verse like 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, that there is a future dominion promised to faithful believers. It says, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. And if we deny him, he will also deny us. He'll deny us the privilege of reigning.
That's right.
And that's what happened to Saul. He was denied the privilege of reigning over Israel. And I think that's a picture of a potential eternal destiny for faithful Christians.
Yeah, I think that's probably right, Sean, but maybe I could take a moment to throw out a counter idea. I was talking with Zane Hodges about Saul one day, and he suggested that he was somewhat of an agnostic about whether Saul will be permitted to rule in the life to come. His view was that Saul clearly would be an illustration, at the very least, of a carnal person, someone with a fleshly mindset. But in Zane Hodges' view, that didn't necessarily rule a person out from ruling with Christ, because a person who was a perpetual immature believer, but who was walking in the faith and was confessing Christ and did that until the point of death, well, that person would have some degree of rulership, maybe just one city or half a city or something. And so I would say, yeah, it's probably right that King Saul won't rule in the life to come, but he didn't die as an idolater like Solomon. He didn't die as an unbeliever. Yes, he was displeasing to God, but it wasn't a total displeasure like, for example, with Solomon, where he's an idolater. So I think it's a little bit questionable there, but he clearly illustrates someone who's not pleasing to God, and clearly that does relate to ruling with Christ.
Okay. Here's a question from Ryan. Ryan asks, If sin is no longer how we are judged, then why does it say that the reason these people are thrown into the lake of fire is because they are guilty of a particular sin? Included among them is faithlessness. And he's referring to Revelation 21, verses 5 to 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So I think he's saying their sins certainly do seem to be brought up in Revelation 21. So what does that mean? Now, I think this is another one where I think we've discussed before.
We have discussed this before. And how did that question begin?
It says, if sin is no longer how we are judged, then why does it say?
Well, okay, now there's the problem.
Yeah.
Sin is the reason we are judged, not sin, but works. If you, I wrote a blog which should go up in the next week or two. By the time this show airs, it'll be up on our website, faithalone.org, about judgment according to works.
Mm-hmm.
And you see all the way through the Old and New Testament that everyone is in this life judged according to their works, and in the eschaton, in the future, will be judged according to our works. The judgment seat of Christ is for Christians, and we're all going to be judged according to our works. The great white throne judgment is for unbelievers, and every unbeliever is going to be judged according to his or her works, according to Revelation 20, 11 through 15. But the basis of condemnation is if your name's not in the book of life. When you look at Revelation 21, 5 through 8, and then you also have at the end of Revelation 21, and you also have Revelation 22, around verses 12 through 17, you find there are three different groups. There's the free gift of everlasting life. And what is that? Isn't that in 21:6? The person who takes the water of life freely. And that same thing is found in Revelation 22:17, that God gives the water of life freely to anyone who wishes it. But you also have the overcomer in Revelation 21:7. That's the believer who endures to the end, and that's the person who's going to rule and reign with Christ. And you find the same thing in Revelation 22, that the overcomer is going to inherit all things and rule.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a third group, and that's the unbelievers, the people who are, in their position, sinners.
Right.
And I don't think the point is saying that the reason that they're condemned is because they're sinners. The point is they didn't receive the water of life freely. That's why they're condemned.
Then why mention their sin at all?
Well, because the point is in Revelation 21 and 22, we're talking about the eternal state. And the eternal state takes place on something called the new earth, which is distinguished from the lake of fire, which is probably a separate planet, maybe even in a separate universe. But in any regard, it won't be part of the new earth.
Mm-hmm.
The point is there won't be any sinners on the new earth. That's the point. That's why he mentions these sinners. They're going to be outside the kingdom. They're not only outside the New Jerusalem, they're outside the kingdom entirely. The reason the gates of the New Jerusalem will never be closed is because there's no sinners. No one's going to come in and attack anybody in the New Jerusalem. Nobody's going to come in to steal or rob or destroy. Mm-hmm. There's going to be no enemies
mm-hmm.
because there's going to be no sinners. So that's why sin is mentioned, not because that's why they're excluded.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they're excluded, they didn't drink the water of life. That is, taking away the figure, they didn't believe in Christ. There's no mention of judgment in 21 and 22 according to their works. That's in Revelation 20, verses 11, 12, and 13. They're judged according to their works. Books are opened and they look at their works.
Mm-hmm.
But in 21 and 22, the point is simply made that sinners are excluded from the kingdom. They won't be in it. That doesn't mean that we who are in the kingdom weren't sinners in this life. Of course we are. We were and we are. But then we're no longer going to be sinners. There will be no sin in our lives.
Right.
When we die with no sin nature. We die as people who are in Christ. But the unbeliever dies in his sins. Remember Jesus said in John 5:24, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins.
Right.
I think that means they die as sinners.
Right.
We don't.
All right. Here's another question. This is a tough question. Well, you have 2 minutes here.
Yeah.
Did God create the universe knowing that billions of people would suffer for all eternity?
Yes.
Or did everything change after the fall of Satan and the introduction of evil?
Yes. But God knew it was going to change. So God in his omniscience, when he created, knew that Adam and Eve would sin. He created them with free will. He could have created them such that they couldn't sin. And he knew that billions were not going to accept the free gift of everlasting life.
So that I'm sure that David, who asked this question, is wondering, well, then what kind of God would do that? Isn't that what a famous football player whose name escapes me
Aaron Rodgers
asked that question recently?
Aaron Rodgers.
And you wrote a blog about that.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers basically said, any God like that is not someone I'd want to worship. It's not someone I'd like to be in his kingdom. God isn't like that.
But the difference is some Christians think that God actively chooses who's going to hell. And,
right.
And I think on that view, you have every right to question what kind of God would do that.
Right.
But on this view, it's more like people are choosing separation from God for themselves. God's
right.
not choosing that for them.
Right. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 46, Paul says, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
In Luke 19, in the parable of the minas, Jesus talks about his citizens who hated him and didn't want him to rule over them. That is, they didn't want to be in his kingdom.
Right.
So people get what they want.
Right.
If they want to be in Jesus' kingdom, they simply believe in him and get the free gift of everlasting life. The people who will end up in the lake of fire are where they want to be. Now, they're not going to enjoy eternal torment, but I've written a book called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words, and I discuss hell in that book. And I suggest it's going to be bearable torment,
mm-hmm.
and that it will be pain, it will be ongoing pain, but that it'll be tolerable. And so the idea that God's torturing people forever is not my understanding of the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
We could pick this up again in the next show if you want to carry this over a little.
Yeah, we can probably talk about this a little more. If you have any questions, please send them to us at radio@faithalone.org. Be sure to go to our website, faithalone.org. Look up problem verses. Look up questions. Look up keywords. We have hundreds and hundreds of articles and audio files and even video files that will be to your edification, that will probably answer your questions, and will probably raise a whole lot more questions for you to ask. So send those questions to radio@faithalone.org.
Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to ask the question, how could God be both just and loving? That's an important question you're going to want to tune into. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.